Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wizard Talk. My name is Jason McKean. This is a show about accessing your inner wizard and aligning yourself to the magic of creation and moving forward in your life. Greetings. It's a hot August day, and I heard today that the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, that she passed, and I just wanted to just take a moment just to recognize the contributions and the beauty of her voice. It's like they on the news and all that, they were playing just snippets, and it was getting me. And as far as it's just like some people have a way of expression that just draws you in. Brings you into it, and she was had an amazing voice, and has an amazing voice. It's like it's there, it's accessible, through recordings and all for us to listen to, and it's like thank you, Aretha, for sharing that. Anyone who's able to have a tremendous gift, and then share it with the world, that's a gift for the rest of us. And it's not always the easiest thing for that individual to be put in that that position, like, all the time, right? Because it can be a hard road, and I think that in her case, there was no exception, as far as, it's like we all have our life paths, and there can be a tremendous responsibility with all of that. And, I think that she, did an amazing job of just staying on top of it. And, that's what all of our responsibilities are, is to kind of stay on top of our gifts and to make sure that we are inspired along the way, that we're fueled, that we're not just depleting ourselves, that we're not just giving, and not being able to receive as well, because it's important that we stay fueled and nurtured. And where we are, able to sustain ourselves, able to continue the journey. So again, Aretha Franklin, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your beautiful voice and your gift. And I plan to, take some time a little bit later and to dive in and listen to some of my favorite songs and some new ones too, just to see what else is out there. All right. Today my show it revolves around questions that people have asked me in various platforms, whether it's social media or social media mostly, emails. But it's like people ask me questions, and it's probably a way to not have to pay for a reading, which, hey, I get it, it's understood. But some of the questions too are ones that are kind of recaps of workshops, because there's a lot that's talked about in a workshop that one can, forget. And I don't expect everyone to take notes and all. In fact, one of the last workshops I did, the Cultivating the Unknown, that was specifically one where I was asked, you know, are we going to take notes? And it's like, this is more experiential than it is a note-taking class, even though it's a workshop for people who are interested in reading Tarot. It is an experiential ride. You know, it's not where, you know, if you're taking notes, then you're going to miss some of the key experiences. And so again, I can see why, you know, people might have questions afterwards. But before we get to that, it's like just a couple of announcements. I'm doing a Teepee experience. It's called Wizard plus Tarot in a Teepee, and that is in Agoura Hills. That's August 23rd. That's this teepee that's on a ranch that's kind of on the edge of this ranch property that starts going into the hills there, and so the coyotes, they come and join. Not that they're welcome into the teepee, they're just outside running around yipping and howling and you know, under the moon. And it's there's owls and crickets and all this wildlife out there, and it's really quite wonderful. And the whole experience is being in this group, and it's about 20 people, this group of individuals, and I'm giving individual readings, but in this group setting, and involving other people. You know, other people are picking cards, and other people have something to say, and everyone is involved. Everyone is, you know, it's not like a spectator sport where you buy a ticket and then you just sit and watch. You're part of it, and that's the beauty of this setting. The teepee is a very tribal setting. Everyone is facing one another. Everyone is engaged with each other. We're invested. When we're in that type of arrangement, you know, it's not like we're sitting somewhere where we're looking at the back of people's heads and saying, I'm anonymous, because this is not about being anonymous. The theme for this session is healing and rejuvenation. And you know, one is an active participant in their own healing. You know, whether they're healing, you know, wounds from the past, or if they're going through physical healing. You know, it's all, you know, you're asked to stand up and be a part of that. So that's the 23rd, Thursday, August 23rd. In Agoura Hills, and mostly Facebook is where one can find the information for that, on my my main page, Jason D. McKean, JASONDMCKEAN, which coincidentally is also my website, jasondmckean.com, and that has my tarot reading schedule and my Om chant CDs. Lastly, one of the people, one of my guests that I've talked to in the past, Andy Malm, who is a drummer in Anchorage. If there's anyone listening and they want to go see his hour percussion performance there in downtown at the Alaska Experience Theater, go check him out. Look it up and go for it. Go see it, because it's amazing. It is really a great experience, and the time is well spent. All right. You know, with the questions that people ask me, you know, I was talking about the workshop and all, and you know, someone, they asked me, you know, because we were in the workshop, we're talking about rituals, protective rituals, or you know, how it is that one prepares themselves for doing readings. You know, is there anything that is a you know, that I do on a continual, consistent basis, so that I'm not either leaving myself open, or you know, that I'm you know, losing the will to be effective in the work. And that's how I sometimes see it, you know, because it's like if one becomes complacent, if one feels that, ah, you know, this person is going to come in, they're they'll ask about relationships, and it's like, you know, I'll just give them the standard answer. You know, it's like if that were to happen, then the work is over. Then why are you doing it? You know, if you've brought it into a place of where it's now factory work, where you just stamp it out and every piece is the same, every reading is the same, then that's it. You know, it's like my work is over, and I should not be in that arena. You know, because how I view it is that every single person that I read for, every single person that I talk to is a unique individual. And yes, we do have common threads that are interwoven in our lives, in our stories. You know, there are common elements as humans. And yet how we approach it, you know, how you know, if an individual is blocked in a certain area, or you know, that's all work that comes to the fore in the reading. And so it's about how do you best serve this individual that's in front of you. And yes, I do things to remind me of that. And you know, part of it is a an energy building, utilizing Qigong, and also you know, taking that Qi, that ball of energy, and infusing it with my intentions, right? And it's a fray, and I I give it the acronym, or the shortened version, you know, taking the letter of each word. And it, so I call it CHO, CHO. And so it's like building the chi and making CHO. I'm just thinking of that now, and it kind of makes me laugh. But CHO, it stands for clarity, humility, opportunity. So that CHO of clarity, humility, opportunity is are the goals that I look to rest in, to bring about for me, so that I am in the the proper space. So clarity, you know, looking to be in a clear frame of mind. You know, it's like I never read if I've you know, drank in like alcohol, or you know, if I'm in an altered state, you know, such as that. I had one person go, "Oh, you should like get really stoned, and like, you know, it'd be like really amazing. You'd pick up some really amazing stuff." And I'm going, "Nah, not so much. I don't want to do that." And you know, it's for me, you know, this is only for me. I apply this to me, but I feel that, you know, to be in a proper place, a proper frame of mind, again, for myself, you know, this is my thing. I don't say that everyone has to do it, but it helps for me to be in that clear frame of mind. And I will say that if I'm doing something like shooting pool, which I do on occasion, it seems like it's much less these days. But if I have like a beer or two, you know, it's like I become this amazing pool player because I don't care. I just start taking risks and banking shots and, you know, just like the weirder it is, the better. And so I think that, you know, for something that is playful, a game and all, then that's okay. But for reading, because of the consequences and the depth of the message and the connection that one can have with another individual, it's like that clarity to receive, you know, what it is that you're, the impressions that you're getting, and having to bring those back to the person in a very clear manner. It's like the message that you craft for them needs to be understood by them. And so clarity for me is key. Humility, 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 that idea that, you know, I don't do the work alone. It is not, you know, me being the great and mighty Oz. You know, it's a combination of energies. It's the cards. It's the spirit behind the cards, you know, whether it's the, you know, my spirit guides or the individual spirit guides. And the energy of the querent, the person with the query asking the question, you know, that's key too. And to think that, you know, it's all me, that would be misleading, misguiding. And I feel that that's just trouble, you know, to get into that headspace of like, yeah, you know, it's like I'm infallible, you know, or, you know, it's all, you know, because of me, you know. And I've been in readings before where, you know, I'm not as receptive, or, you know, it's like the connection with the querent is not as, it's not as clear. And I've, you know, I've had to stop readings, you know, because of not being in sync, you know. And is that, you know, something that then that, you know, just stops you from saying, oh, my gift is gone, you know, it's like I shouldn't be reading anymore. It's like, no, it's like, you know, there are some equations there. There are some, you know, people that are just not on the same wavelength and all. And you know, that happens, and that's okay. That's okay. I mean, a good reader can shift wavelengths, and they can, you know, go into a way of communicating so that you're matching someone else's energy, so that again, it's being understood. But it's not 100%. Doesn't happen all the time. So, so there's that allowance then of, you know, of recognition that, okay, you know, it's like I bring my part to it. They bring their part. There's the spirit guides that bring their part. The cards, you know, have their say too. So that humility that you're not the one in control. And, you know, for me, the idea of trying to have any kind of control over it is sometimes it's maddening, right? Because it's like I have no control, but also it's very freeing. Can be incredibly freeing to be present, to, you know, be a true servant of the process. Now that's part of the opportunity part of Cho. Clarity, humility, opportunity. Opportunity to be of service. The opportunity to, you know, utilize one's gifts and to be able to sustain themselves in the world, you know, by utilizing that, but by helping others, by helping others come to an understanding, a deeper understanding, a clearer understanding of a situation that they're in at the moment. And it's powerful stuff. And to be able to, you know, step into that role, and to, you know, go down the path to where it leads. That is, you know, how I prepare myself. You know, creating the chi ball, the energy before me, right? It's like, you know, you see the practitioners that they're holding this invisible ball. You know, it's like maybe about a little bigger than like a basketball or so, and it's they're rotating it and all in front of them, in front of their solar plexus, their belly area, and then being able to, you know, infuse those phrases into it, and then you know, plant that energy seed for the day. You know, do I do that before every reading? No, because I set that intention, and then, you know, one usually gets into the flow of it. You know, are there you know, protective things? Absolutely. You know, it's like if you're you know, having a querent who's got a lot of difficulty in their life, it's like, you know, utilizing, you know, that particular form of like qigong to kind of create protective aspects, you know, having your spirit guides around you, taking a moment, you know, to do that. I'm partial to the pentacle, the five star point up pentacle there as a sign of protection, and drawing that in my mind, surrounding myself with that, so that energy does not come in and disrupt. All right, spent a lot of time on that. Jeez. I don't think in the workshop, I don't think I talked about it for so long, and so maybe that's why the person was asking, because I think I just glossed over it pretty quickly. Maybe I should do a whole workshop on it. You know, someone wrote, if I had a favorite tarot card, and it's like, I don't like to play favorites so much. You know, there's ones that I associate with. There's ones that are like, in the Wizard's Tarot with the book that came with it, there's this whole like, chart of these cards that are associated with birth dates, and I just had a birthday, August 6th, and there's like a slew of like days there, like from the 2nd to the 8th or something like that. That the card that's covering that is the Six of Wands, the Six of Wands, a card of success. well, it's like a card of where, you know, one wins their battle. But in the Wizard's Tarot, it's a card of where one is on stage, and the spotlight is on them, and they are speaking. They are revealing or expressing their innermost desires. They're putting it out there. They're moving that energy out. And I like to see that as a card of where, you know, sometimes the audience there is paying attention. Sometimes they're not. But, you know, if you completely, you know, invest your, you know, why you're doing something because of how someone else is taking it, it's like, you know, sometimes it's just more important to move that energy outside yourself so that it doesn't get trapped, so it doesn't become a thing that starts to turn or expire, like go past the expiration date, especially in your spirit. If you're driven to move in a certain direction, it's like, you know, find ways to act upon that so that, you know, you can get it out there in the world and see how it starts to manifest. See if you're validated by it, you know, or if you need to change things up. God, can you imagine if Aretha Franklin, if when she was young, it's like if she started singing and didn't have a perfect voice, if someone said, oh, geez, you know, you should like take up accounting or, you know, just don't sing, don't try. I mean, that would, you know, rob the rest of us of just like incredible beauty and soul. So, you know, if one is inclined to express their own creativity, to share it, it's like, you know, being in that place of having enough courage to begin, to start, and see where it takes you. It may not be, you know, something that you can sustain yourself with, but doesn't mean that it doesn't feed you along the way, especially like creative endeavors. You know, it's like one has to, you know, move that energy out. And as a Leo, you know, it's like I have a Leo sun, Leo moon. It's like I have a lot of creative energy, and I've always done that. I've been a painter. I've been a graphic artist, a photographer, a filmmaker, a composer. What haven't I been? Lots of stuff. Not so good in the sculpting area. Although when I was, how old was I? I think I was 12, and I was inspired by Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. And so I thought, you know what, I could do this. And so I got like a big coffee can and melted wax in it, and then ended up with this big coffee can sized thing of wax, and I started to sculpt in it, and I don't know that I had the right tools. I think I had a steak knife, you know, or it might have been just the butter knife. Maybe my mother just like said, you know what, start with the butter knife, and I didn't quite you know, put like paper down in my room, and there was a lot of wax that kind of got into the carpet. That's what I remember from that endeavor. And I don't think my mom was too pleased about that. And you know, it's just like my wax figure days, they were numbered. It didn't quite happen for me. Getting back to the question, my other, like when I was getting back into the tarot, like in my late 40s, to where I was going to start, you know, reading for others, it's like a card that also kind of covers my birth time and all, but in a more general way, the King of Wands, that came up. It was at my sister's mystic training in Sedona. And, you know, she puts together this weekend of just, you know, it's like a boot camp kind of psychic training weekend in beautiful Sedona, Arizona. It's like, it's amazing. She's got one coming up in October towards Halloween. That card that I chose for myself on that particular day moment was the King of Wands, and we were asked to invent a word, to intuit a word. Sometimes intuiting feels like a lot like you're just inventing it. But the word that came up for me, and it was pretty instantaneous, amplification. The King of Wands, amplification. And the kings, they are about how we express energy out into the world. And for me, amplification is not about, you know, putting forth a persona or energy that is false, that is, you know, where it feels like you're faking something. It's about taking one's own authentic being and just turning up the volume knob on that. Allowing for your authentic self to loom larger, you know, for you to give voice to who it is that you're becoming, who it is that you are. It was quite invaluable for me to step into a role of being more of a facilitator of counseling and you know, becoming my wizard self. The King of Wands, that card is like it's pretty near and dear to me. And yet it's important not to get stuck. It's important not to say, oh, you know, it's like the King of Wands, that's like a card that I resonate with and so I guess that's who I am. Because more and more, it's like I've been gravitating more towards like the King of Cups, which is more of an expression of heart energy and like deeper connection with others, with groups, with the intent of facilitating healing in the world. And you know, it's possible that you know, cards can evolve, that you as an individual, you know, you let yourself change things up and not just feel like, oh, well, that card is I just associate with that one, and that will always be me. You know, it's like it you can definitely utilize that energy in the space that you're in the situations that you place yourself in. And yet, you know, to constantly grow, it's about that allowance of starting to make that shift of perception. And it's like, oh, I can be, you know, this person in the world, and I can look to the energy that this card represents to push me. And you know, use it as a guide. It's pretty wonderful. Do I always get questions from, you know, like good questions? That's almost like a, what's your favorite color? Which mine is it seems like everything I wear is black. But that's more of a reverend thing, I think. No, it's like someone. They asked me, it's like I feel like I'm sinking in a depression. And, you know, how does one get out of it? And you know, so that's, there's actually, you know, quite a few people that come to me that are in that place of, you know, questioning their own, you know, sometimes it's their emotional state, their mental state, and yeah, it's like we'll take a look at it with the cards. It's like, you know, with all things, you know, that are health related and all. It's like, you know, I'm not a doctor, and so, you know, one can you know, one should, if it's like a persistent state, you know, go see a practitioner, a doctor, or you know, can be an alternative doctor. You know, it's like when I was in my 30s, I had like a health crisis. I went to a medical doctor first, and they did a bunch of tests on me, and then they didn't find anything wrong. And so with something that still persists, it's like, okay, you know, now I go to the alternative to make sure that you know, I don't get hooked on pills or whatever, you know, what Western medicine wants to get me on. And you know, the same is true with like emotional anxiety, depression states. You know, it's like there are pills, there are medicines that can be helpful, and there are also, you know, the idea of some things is where they cover it up. You know, like medications, they cover up symptoms without getting to the core of things. And sometimes when we get to the core, if it's a situation or it's a feeling of where we're not feeling validated, you know, like we're feeling unloved, well, you know, it's like you know, a lot of people will go home to an empty house or apartment, and you know, it's like it's not enough to, you know, switch on the Netflix and grab a tub of Ben and Jerry's and, you know, and try to cover up feelings of loneliness and all, you know. And so I look to the cards, you know, to have something to say about, you know, how we can, you know, look to open up our own social circles, our own support circles, those people that we can go to and you know, like feel a part of a community. You know, I think of in readings when certain cards they show up, you know, they will point to you know, areas of whether it's our, you know, where we hold ourselves back, you know, we're feeling lost, and where we're feeling like, you know, we're not tapping into like a larger purpose. We're just not getting that fulfillment. And, you know, oddly enough, it's not always just like, you know, someone who is like alone like that. They can be in relationships and all and still feel, you know, alone or where they aren't being validated. So it's, you know, it's not just a certain, you know, variable like that says, oh, okay, well, that's your problem. It's like you need to go on a date. You know, it's like some people go on dates, but they're not connecting, and that's where it's other parts of us, you know, that aren't allowing you know, ourselves to open up, to be vulnerable, you know, because of, you know, maybe our past and all. So without, you know, getting into the specific reading of this person, because again, I like to, you know, if this person, you know, wants to come to me and you know, spend some time to look again at the individual aspects of it, you know, that's cool. I'm just saying that, you know, if it's a persistent issue, I mean, you know, one can seek out a professional, and that's usually best. Is to seek out, you know, someone that, whether it's a psychologist or, you know, someone who is trained to identify what's happening. You know, because I feel that with the tarot, You know, I can be a catalyst. I can be a spark. Can, you know, plant a seed of energy that one can you know, take from that, and then they can it can open up a direction for them to start moving in, right? So, you know, sometimes it's about a permission to allow themselves to be more social, you know, to go out on a limb a little bit more, to go to a social setting, a party, and not just sit in the corner, but to engage, to start asking questions of people, and you know, not worrying about how something has to turn out. You know, am I gonna form a solid relationship here by talking to this person about the weather or sports? You know, it's like, maybe not. You know, it's like I talk to people all the time, and you know, there is such a thing as chemistry, where, you know, or a wavelength where, you know, there's some people that I could just talk to for hours and hours and hours, you know, because it's just like the quality of conversation is really high, or it just matches, you know, without, you know, judging the value of, you know, oh, this person's not smart, or oh boy, they're too smart. Yes, that happens. It's like, whoa, this person is way beyond me. I'd better bail on this. No, I like to learn things. I like to learn new things. I don't know if this question is related to another. Another question that I was asked already, because again, I just kind of want to leave that one at the one with this person who's feels like they're sinking in a depression, right? It's like, you know, it's okay to go to a psychologist. Start there, right? And you know, it's like you know, they can determine if you're, you know, looking to need more, you know, a drug or a pill or something that you know allows for that, or if it's just about, you know, working through stuff. You know, it's like the tarot reader, they can open up a whole can of worms, you know, with stuff, you know, and unless, you know, that you're willing to commit to a process of examination, self-examination, of, you know, really looking at your part in your past and in your present. You know, it's like, you know, the tarot reader can't do the work for you, but we can, you know, leave you with again, almost like a catalyst to move in a certain direction. And a lot of tarot readers are pretty great at, you know, just the kind of common sense counseling and also ones in that realm of kind of the emotions and all. So it's, you know, if you find whoever you find, you know, again, as support and that counseling, then that's a really great thing. But it's sometimes a process, and it's not just a one-off thing where again, it's like, you know, I wave my magic wand at you and you're healed. You know, healing is a very individual thing. This other question here, and it's such an odd question, but I love it when people ask them, because this one's asking, you know, can you ask the tarot anything? And as a follow up, you know, you know, what shouldn't you ask? You know, can you ask the tarot anything? I make a point of not holding myself back. Like, I mean, I've used this show to explore a bunch of different concepts and to, you know, allow for the card to have their say. And, you know, are there things that one shouldn't ask? I always feel that there are poor ways of phrasing things. You know, I make an example of like the person who feels down on their luck, and they'll come to a reader, or me, and they'll like ask, you know, will I ever find love? Will I ever find love? For me, that's a terrible question in how it's phrased, and how it's like, you know, yes. You know, there's always that potential of finding love. You know, if you know, God forbid, you go to a reader and they say no, that's like what, you're like cursed or something to never find love. There's someone for everyone out there in the world, and it, you know, it's just kind of a momentary, you know, woe is me mindset. You know, because, you know, being a good partner, you know, it's not about just finding a person that you're in sync with and then everything is perfect. It's like it's a constant process of being present and sharing your life. And you know, a lot of people don't like to share. It's like they get kind of, you know, greedy with their time. You know, think of the person that has been single for a while, and then, you know, it's like they get into a relationship, and it's like, you know what? This person wants me to do that. I want to do this. I always do this on Thursday afternoons. I always like, you know, this is part of my routine. You know, it's like, are you willing to change things up now that you're, you know, with someone else? Are you willing to give of your own time? And it's like the older that we get, right? It's like, it can be trickier because, you know, we start to get those grooves that we make for ourselves. You know, we get in a good groove and it's like, yeah, I'm happy. You know, those grooves can become ruts if they get deep enough. And then, you know, when we're asked to jump out of those ruts, then it's like, oh, I'm stuck. You know, so these things that people say that they want, you know, how do we go about changing ourselves up? All right, back to the question though. You know, it's like, what shouldn't you ask? I know at Dark Harbor, the Queen Mary, when I was in the role of Zoltar, the fortune teller, as a joke, or maybe because people didn't know what else to ask, they would come up and ask me, you know, when am I going to die? And I would steer clear from that question. As far as asking that question, you know, it's not one that I think is productive. You know, I think that in the case of you know, if one is looking to prepare their assets, you know, get their paperwork in order. You know, what is it the doctors say or whatever, get your papers in order. You know, if you're facing something terminal or something like that, it's like, you know, that's always good to, like, you know, make sure that there's no questions about how your property or whatever is going to be split or kind of practical things like that. But, you know, one comes to a tarot reader, one comes to me to ask, you know, how am I going to live? You know, how can I, you know, work through this fear that I'm feeling, and, you know, feel like I'm, like I count in life, that I matter. You know, because everyone dies. Everyone dies. That's just the natural course of it. And yet to be able to find happiness for yourself, to feel fulfillment. And fulfillment is where, you know, one taps into their soul purpose. One is fully aligned within their heart and their spirit and their head. And is looking to take that individual self out into the world and express itself. You know, that is where one can find their greatest value. You know, so to worry about, you know, an inevitable time when we die, it's like, you know, an accident can occur that, you know, at any time. You know, it's thinking about, you know, like a plane can just fall out of the sky and just, you know, fall in your house. And it's like, you know, you're in bed going, oh, at least I'm safe in my bed. It's like, what's that sound? You know, it's like go out and live. Do I get asked anything? Yeah. Yeah, I get asked like so much. You know, from taxes to to things that are missing, animals. And, you know, as a reader, it's good to be pretty well versed as far as like what your cards are saying or just what your intuition is telling you to. So it, you know, it's like, again, I'm open to exploring everything, and you know, whether it's a concept or if it's like yes or no questions, seeing the energy behind it. And I see the tarot as energy, and the cards as like showing the flow of energy. Also, if something is like a, you know, it's like, yes, go for it, do it, as opposed to hold on that. It's like be a little bit more thoughtful. A little bit more careful. You need to think about this before you dive in. You know, because it's like your heart just like wants to dive in completely, but you need to research this just a little bit more so that you're more prepared, and so that the way going forward will be smoother. All right, so. I hope that is helpful, and anyone can send me a question there through my social media. It's like you can get there through my website, jasondmckean.com, J-A-S-O-N-D, mckean.com. Yeah, check it out. And you know, I'm on Facebook and Instagram, and you know, I don't know if I like Twitter. That's just, you know, like personal preferences and stuff. It's like I just don't know that I like the way it's set up and all. It's just I guess I have that right to not like it. But I really like Instagram and Facebook. So you can you know, send me a question through the PMs on either of those, or in a public manner too, and I'll at various times, you know, gather them up and look to answer them. Upcoming for me, I have a teepee experience, a wizard plus tarot in a teepee. And that is August 23rd. That's a Thursday. I really look forward to that. The theme will be healing and rejuvenation. And, you know, it's looking to have these individual readings in regards to, you know, one's own journey of healing. I like to look at it as a process of healing, you know, not just where one, you know, looks to be completely free of a certain symptom or so. And, you know, in the case of my own healing, it's like I had to change up a lot of things about myself. I had to really go in and change, like, my sleeping habits, my eating habits, drinking, in that I was drinking a lot of espresso, you know, so I was on a lot of production deadlines. And thinking how I was integrating my emotions and if I would go into a place of melancholy, you know, it was like it was all connected. And when I started changing that up, then things got better. They got like 200% better. So one is an active participant in their own healing, and I look forward to, you know, facilitating that space and talking about it and sharing and, you know, allowing for others to talk and share and feel the support and the love of the group there in the teepee, in the House of Two Spirits. That's what the name of the teepee. And then Pamela Robbins, who is a magnificent sound healer, she will be doing a sound healing afterwards. And so it'll go from like 7 to 10. And the first part of it is the tarot. And then the last hour or so is the sound healing. And it's just, it's a wonderful evening there. And look it up on, again, my website, or Facebook. That's the place. Jason D. McKean on my Facebook, and it's on my main page there. All right. I hope this has been of service, and you know, many blessings for everyone. Have an amazing Thursday and week, and I will be back next week, and we'll either talk tarot or I'll have a guest, or not sure yet at this point, you know, but I will be back. And many blessings. Many blessings. Thank you for listening to Wizard Talk.